Good morning. It's good to see everyone here this morning. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. This morning, I've been preparing for this all week, and I'm going to try to fill up the next 35 minutes. Jacob and I had a few talks about that. Most of my lessons have been right around the 20, maybe if I'm being generous, 25-minute range. And so today is the real test, so we'll see how it goes. Ephesians chapter 6 is a passage all about giving us comfort and confidence in God's strength. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that my words may be given to me in opening my mouth, boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." This passage is all about God's power, and God's power and what he gives to us in order to fight against temptation and against the devil. Oftentimes in life, I know in mine, I tend to focus on what I can do rather than what God can do. I tend to focus on what my strength can do rather than what God can do. And God can do so much more than I can. So today I want to take a few moments and talk about reaching into the armory. First off, our strength should be in God and not in ourselves. We see this in verse 10 where it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord." Be strong in the Lord and hit. We'll just leave those up there. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Firstly, in our fight against the devil, we must be strong, first and foremost. We can't be weak against temptation and against sin. All throughout this passage, we see and we read verbs of action. Through verses 11 through 14, we see the verb stand, the verb wrestle, and the action verb of standing firm, all throughout these three verses. And these are all strong words in order to tell us what we have to be doing. It's an action that we must be taking. That we can't be passive against sin and against temptation and hope that we're going to be okay. No, we have to be willing to be strong and fight against them. Because if we don't have strength, then our fight will fall short. Our fight will not go the way we want it to. And so we see first off in this passage that we must have strength. But our strength shouldn't be in ourselves. Our strength, we read, is in God's might in that very same verse. Because our strength falls short. No matter how hard we may try, no matter how hard we may, prepare, our strength falls short. We see this in Mark chapter 14, where it reads, "Watch and pray that you may not enter temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Our personal strength is weak against temptation. And when we know this, we can turn to the strength that will not fail, the strength that's in God. If we remember his strength in our battles, then we will be more than ably equipped in the fight. Think of it this way. Recently, I've been playing a lot of chess. And in a game of chess, if you have both players who are evenly matched, the game's going to go pretty intensely. Now, imagine if one player has an advisor with him the whole entire time. And imagine if that advisor knows every single move that the opponent's going to make. And not only that, he tells the player what to do to counteract that move, and in turn, win the game as quick as possible. Now think of this. Now, God is that advisor to us. God is that strength to us. He gives us the strength to have the upper hand over temptation, to defeat temptation, because he knows how to overcome it. He knows how to win over it, and we don't. But sometimes we tend to forget that God is at our side. Sometimes we tend to forget that we have his strength to rely upon rather than ourselves. Because sometimes we're prideful in ourselves. in myself, I don't like asking help for anything. I really don't. You can ask Bailey this. If we're driving somewhere and I feel like I know where we're going, I won't pull up maps, I'll do what I want, and we'll end up lost. And I won't ask Bailey for help, I won't ask the maps for help. Why? Because I feel like I can do it. I feel like I can do this rather than have to ask someone for help. Because in my life, I was always taught that if I had to ask for help, you know, well, you should be able to do that yourself. And so in my mind, there was a stigma that asking for help means weakness, when it really doesn't. When it comes to temptations, if we ask for help, we're acknowledging that God's strength is there, that God is there to help us when we need it. Because we cannot defeat temptations without God. Sometimes we forget that God is at our side because we can't see God. And so we can't see God, and because of this, we can't put our strength in something we don't see. It's easy for us to put our trust, our confidence in those things that we can see. Growing up, I put my confidence, my trust in my parents because they were always around and I could always see them. However, the best strength, the biggest strength comes from God. And when we forget that he's there with us, when we forget that we can't see him, then sometimes we decide, well, the only strength I have is in myself. But we need to be willing to switch that train of thought. We need to be willing to change that, to put our strength in God, put our confidence in God rather than ourselves. And we need to do this because God strengthens us against Satan's attempts to tempt us away from our faith. In verse 12, we read that our fight is not a physical fight. It's not something where we're physically going out there and preparing for a hand-to-hand combat situation. Our fight is against something else. And Paul points this out in this passage. In verse 12, he uses an example to show different spiritual aspects of our fight. Each one of these adversaries, as I was studying through, are different spiritual adversaries, pointing to something different rather than physical, but something that we're going to have to fight spiritually. But Paul's main point is to point out that Satan has many tools at his disposal. He's not a one-trick pony. He's got different things that he can use to trip us up. And because of these tools, he can find our weaknesses really easily. He knows our weaknesses really easily. And he can tempt us. He can cause us to struggle because of that. If I'm dealing with honesty and I'm in integrity and I've been working at it, then Satan will try to find a way to trip that up. He'll try to find a way to stop that progress. Instead of maybe lying forthright, maybe he'll try to get me to skirt around the truth by not saying what exactly is the truth, but not exactly lying either. You see, Satan will find these different ways to get at us where we may think that we're growing, where we may think that we're really working at it. Our battle against sin takes place in our heart and our mind. So that in that case, we need our answer to temptation is very simple. We either say yes or we say no. That choice will come down to our resolve, our strength in God, and able to put Satan behind us rather than fall to him. And if our strength is in God, then we will be able to defeat temptation when we face it. We will have that backing that we need. And through God's strength, he gives us the proper equipment to defeat temptation. The rest of this passage is about the armor of God, the different tools that God gives us through his strength. But looking at each one of these tools, it's very simple to see that each piece of armor is unique. They're designed for their own purpose. They have their own thing that they help us with. Each piece of armor is something more that we can use. With each piece of armor, there's something very simple about it. He tells us, simply put, what they are: the belt of truth, the helmet of salvation. But there's a point we can't forget. God is the one supplying the armor. Just like our strength comes from God, our defense comes from God as well. Our armor comes from God. But knowing this, we still have to put on that armor. We still have to wear it. We have an action to fulfill. We can't just say, oh, yeah, God's given me the armor, that's good, it's going to sit right over here in my closet. No, we have to put it on, we have to be willing to wear it and use it against the devil. The pieces of armor are very simple, like I said, but they each have their very designed uses. We start with the belt of truth. I think in our own wardrobe, our belt is one of our most important pieces. Because if we don't have a belt, then if we're trying to tuck in our shirt, if our pants are just a little too big, then we're going to be dealing with that all day, pulling it up, tucking in our shirts. Our belt keeps them where we want them to be. Our belt keeps our clothes where we want them to be. Likewise, truth helps us keep our lives where we want them to be. Look with me in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, starting in verse 5. Galatians chapter 2, verse 5, and then verse 14. To them we did not yield in submission, even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel may be preserved for you. And down in verse 14, but when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force Gentiles to live like you? In each of these passages, we are pointed out that the gospel is truth. That in order to wear the belt of truth, we have to know what truth is. And truth is the gospel. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 4 as well, and we can also see where else truth is. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 21. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus. Not only is the truth in the gospel, but the truth is in Christ as well. And so if we question where our truth is from, then we need to just look at these few verses to see that our truth comes from the gospel and that our truth comes from Christ. Truth as a Christian helps us establish our faith. Why would we believe in something if we did not believe it to be true? If we believed it to be a lie, would we really put our faith in it? I don't think so. The gospel of Christ is what our faith is built upon. And when we read this, we understand that it is true. It is the real thing. It is right. And if we remember this in our lives, our actions will reflect this. If we use the belt of truth, if we actively put that on ourselves, then our words will reflect this as well. If I am trying to sell something, whether it be a phone, a car, anything, if I am truthful, then my actions will respond to this. My words will show this. I won't try to cheat someone out of what the worth is. I won't try to skirt around and try to get more or try and get them to sell it for less, maybe. And all in all, being truthful through my actions. Likewise, I'll live by the truth, meaning I will obey the gospel. I will live a life worthy of the gospel of Christ, which means my actions will show my faith. I maybe won't go out and stay up late on a Saturday night, stay out till maybe 3 a.m. in the morning, because I know if I do that and I go to church on Sunday, then I'm going to be half asleep, not really paying attention through the service. I won't skip services for a TV show or a movie that I really want to see. In my life, I won't try to conform to the people around me. Rather, I'll stay conforming to the example of Christ. All in all, the ability to do so revolves around the truth. And the truth helps us to keep our lives in Christ rather than elsewhere. After reading about the belt of truth, we're told of the breastplate of righteousness. In battle, the breastplate is designed to just guard your front. It is there. It is one of the most important pieces of physical armor. Because often your attack is coming from the front. And if you have that breastplate, it deals with the blows that might come there. And it also protects the vital organs within your chest and your thorax. Likewise, our breastplate of righteousness is there to deal with sin and to protect our hearts. It's there to guard our hearts from sin. Righteousness is defined as morally uprightness and personal character. And if we understand that, then we must commit to that in our heart. That we must be morally upright and scripturally backed in our character and in our heart. A righteous life will not only protect our heart, but it will also keep our focus on God. It'll keep our focus and our feet on the same path that we need it to stay on. But how do we know what righteousness is? How do we know exactly, you know, besides that definition, how do we know what it means in our lives? In Romans, we see a few examples. In Romans chapter 1, verse 7, it reads that the righteous shall live by faith. And in Romans chapter 4, verse 22, we also read that his faith was counted to him as righteousness. So very, very first off, we see that faith is righteousness. That if we have faith in our actions, like I've said before, we'll show that. And if they show that, then it shows that we do have righteousness, that we are putting on that breastplate of righteousness. If we have faith, then we'll show compassion to others. We'll show mercy to others because Christ shows compassion and mercy to us. We'll be patient. We'll spread the gospel and glorify God in all that we do because that's what faith will cause us to do. That's what faith will get us to do actively. If our heart is protected with righteousness, then standing in our faith will be the easier action to do, and our faith in God and His strength rather than our own. After the breastplate of righteousness, we read of the shoes of preparation. Reading through this as a young kid, I always skipped past the shoes because I couldn't really see what it really was. I didn't understand what it was saying, so I was like, well, it's not necessary. I'll just continue on. However, the shoes are vital to the armor. Preparation is vital to the Christian. In order to face anything in life, we must be prepared. We must be ready for what comes our way. Even more critical, we must be ready for temptation. Because if we're unprepared for temptation, then we'll fall. As in war, if you're wearing shoes, especially in this day and age, if you had shoes, you were able to move quickly and faster than someone who did not have shoes, because they were more worried about what they were stepping on. If you had shoes, they protected your feet. They protected what you were using to run around. Likewise, if we are prepared, we will be protected against temptation. We will be ready against the temptation that comes our way. If I'm prepared for one of my weaknesses, if I pointed back to honesty, if I'm dealing with honesty, and I have struggled with maybe lying, then if I prepare for that, knowing that I should be truthful and knowing that I should work at that, then when the temptation comes to lie about something, to cheat something, then if I prepared adequately, I'll turn that away. I'll be honest. I'll be truthful. However, if I have prepared inadequately, then I'll fall short. We need to be prepared to fight temptation at any time or place. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we see how we are to prepare. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Our preparation is to be ready for action, ready to act upon our faith and act against sin and temptation. But more importantly, we prepare because we have hope in God. We have hope in God and His salvation for us. If we have this hope, then we are going to work on building our foundation, strengthening our faith in all that we do. Because if we're building up our foundation, then it's going to be harder to be chipped away at, to fall down. And building up our foundation requires us to study through the Word, to look at the needs of others and really show our care for one another, to really figure out what it means to be a Christian, rather than just sit back and say, well, I've read the Bible, I go to church. If we're preparing, we're doing more than that. On top of preparation, we read of the shield of faith in verse 16. The shield of faith and shields in general are very important in a defensive effort. Because if you have a shield, you can reflect any attack that may come your way. And in verse 16, we read what we're reflecting, what we're defending against. In verse 16, we read that the shield is there to extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one, to extinguish what Satan sends our way, to defend ourselves from it. Our faith is our shield. And if we have a strong faith, a strong foundation, then our shield will be strong. We'll be able to withstand what Satan will throw our ways. However, if we have a weak faith, a weak foundation, then when those darts come, those temptations come, we'll crumble. We mustn't forget that a shield is a defensive piece of armor. Meaning we have to defend our faith. We defend with our faith and defend our faith. In 1 Peter chapter 3, we're supposed to be ready to make a defense of our hope. And we read that in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, where it reads, "But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." We must be ready to defend why we believe what we believe. And this goes back to the preparation. We must prepare for that. We must be ready for that. more importantly, if our faith is strong, we'll be able to defend ourselves. We'll be able to defend our faith. Because we'll point right back to all the blessings and the promises that God have for us, that God has shown us in the Bible and has promised us for the future. And if we reflect on this, if we build our faith on this, then that fight against temptation will be easier. Our defense against temptation will be easier. If we can defend our faith, then we can show those around us the reason for our hope as well. We can show those around us that not only do we believe in this and show them why we believe in this, but we may show them the way to go. We may show them as examples in Christ how rightly to live their lives, how to live their lives as a life of faith. Not only can we show as examples to others, but we can overcome temptation and sin through our faith. Because our faith points back to the strength in God. Our faith points back to what God does for us. On top of faith, in the second to last piece of armor, we read of the helmet of salvation. A helmet is there for protection. Think of bike rides and contact sports. They wear helmets to protect their heads, to protect their brains, their minds. Our helmet is there to protect ours, to protect our minds. If our minds are focused on God, then our actions will reflect this. However, if our minds start to wander and focus on things of this world, well, then their draw becomes more appealing to us. We start to linger on, well, I can miss that Wednesday night. I can go out with my buddies on a Wednesday night because, you know, I'm supposed to be out there with people and showing my example to people. I don't need to go to Bible study. And if we start to have maybe that line of thinking, then other things will fall into that. We'll start to chip away at our foundation. A helmet of salvation is there to stop that chipping away. Because that protection that we have is in the saving grace of God. When we have the confidence in God's ability to save us, that He can save us from our sins, from our weaknesses, then we have that protection in our life, that confidence that I can go and do what I need to do for God and Christ and not worry about things that I have done. Because I've changed. I've focused my life on God. I've turned my life around, sort of. We have this protection because we're focused on the goal of salvation, the goal of being with Christ in heaven one day. Salvation is being saved from wickedness and sin and being put into God's care. And with this hope, then our actions will reflect this. We'll live our lives knowing that we can be there with Christ and with God. And we're able to move forward from our sins and do right what is right in God. The last piece of armor is the only offensive piece of armor. It's the only thing that we can use in an offensive attack. And it's the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. With the Word of God, we're able to make the defense that we need to for our faith. With the Word of God, we're able to put our trust in God's strength. We're able to put our confidence in the salvation that God offers us. All because of His Word. All because of what we have. With the Word of God, we have a weapon no enemy can defeat. No one can break the Spirit. No one can break the Word of God. Because it is truthful. It is right. We must be willing to back up our faith with our Scripture. And in order to do that, we must have the Word of God. When someone comes and asks us, you know, why do you believe what you believe? Why do you believe in salvation? Why do you go to church 2 days a week? Well, if we point to different things in Scripture, we can show them that, well, I believe in this because of this passage, and I believe in that because of this passage. And it's harder to refute something where you can point them to, where you can say, hey, this is why I believe, and this is where it comes from, this is what he's talking about. And it turns into something more than just a simple, oh, I believe it because, you know, I've been raised in the church, I've been told that my whole entire life, it's just natural to believe in that. Because there is a way to chip away at that answer. That answer isn't complete. Rather, the Word of God is. The Word of God is complete in our defense. It's there to help us. Even with the armor, we still need the help of God. And we see this in verse 18, where after it talks about the sword of the Spirit, that we must continually seek God's power and remind ourselves that our strength comes from Him. It says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. We're still we're still supposed to be praying to God and looking to Him. Because He's the one who gives us that strength. He's the one who helps us when we need it, rather than ourselves or those around us. Now, each piece of the armor is unique. It has its own skill set. But not only that, each piece of armor perfectly fits into the whole. No armor is complete without a helmet or a shield or sandals. Likewise, no Christian is complete without some of these aspects. If we can look at these aspects and say, yeah, I've got this one and this one, but not that one, not that one, I don't really worry about those two, then we're not really complete. We're not really listening to what we're taught. In order to adequately defend ourselves from temptations, we must realize that we are given through God's strength a full and complete outfit, a full body of armor, not just pieces. With the full outfit, then we're prepared to fight. Then we are prepared to defend ourselves. Then we're able to defend ourselves from Satan and the temptations he throws our way. In Romans chapter 12, if you'll turn with me there, we read about being part of a whole. Romans chapter 12, and we'll read verse 4. And I think this is very alike to the armor of God, that each piece creates a whole. Each piece has its own thing that it does for us. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 4, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not have all the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. You see, in the church, we are all individuals, but part of a whole. We create a whole through Christ. Likewise, our armor creates a whole. It creates something more than just individual pieces of defense. And if we realize this, that we are part of a whole, then our strength will grow even more because we're putting our trust in God and His gifts to us, His armor that He gives us, because He created it perfectly for us. The armor by God is given to us to defend against temptations. And not only that, it's there to help others in their fights. In verse 18 of chapter 6 in Ephesians, we are told to be alert and make supplication for all saints. This means we need to be looking out for one another. We need to be looking out and actually trying to get to know one another in order to make these prayers and supplications for someone else. In order to truly know what someone is dealing with, we have to get to know them. We have to be able to go and talk to them and get to know what they're dealing with. Because if we're just sitting here, if I'm just looking around saying, yeah, they may be dealing with something, but you know what, I like my seat in my pew. I don't want to move. I'm just going to stay here. I'll talk to those around me. Then we're not really getting to know our church, and we're not really being a part of the whole. We're staying on the edges. We're being an individual. We have to know one another in order to make these supplications, these prayers for one another. And so we must be willing to go maybe out of our comfort zones, maybe not sit in the same spot every Sunday and Wednesday, and be willing to jump around to get to know people. Because that's what we're supposed to be doing as Christians, is knowing people so that we can help them as we can. All in all, the armor comes from the strength of God. It doesn't come from ourselves. It comes from what God gives to us, our confidence in God. Because God knows temptation. God knows how to defeat it, how to overcome it, more than we do. If we rely on our own strength, we'll fall short. We'll fail in the face of temptation. However, through God's strength, we can adequately prepare and adequately defend ourselves. And not only adequately, but more than adequately. He equips us in ways that we can't even imagine. However, what we read in Ephesians is a very small glimmer of how he helps us. Each piece of the armor that He gives us is unique. It is there to help us defend ourselves. Because He understands that in our fleshly bodies, we aren't able to do so adequately, that we will fall short. Our spirit is willing, but our flesh indeed is weak. And when He knows this, and He gives us gifts to defend ourselves. And that's what the armor is a gift from God, a gift from His strength rather than ours. It's all uniquely designed, ready for its own purpose. But it all works together to create a whole. Rather than be individualistic and use one at a time, we must use them all together at the same time. Because without one piece of armor, there's a weak spot. There's something that Satan can get at if we just pick and choose what we want to use. If we remember that we're strengthened through God and not ourselves, and that the gifts he gives us are there for our defense, then our fight against temptation will become not only simpler, but easier as well. It'll be easier to fight back against those weaknesses we may have, those temptations that may pull at us, if we constantly rely and reflect back upon God's strength rather than our own. I hope this lesson has helped you guys to study and understand this message that is being taught us in Ephesians chapter 6. At this time, we'll go ahead and dismiss for our classes.